All right, take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter 86, Psalm 86 tonight, and we're going to look at the second half of this chapter. Last week we looked at the first part of it and saw that it was split into really three different sections, the first two dealing with mainly David trusting in God to hear and to deliver. He asked the Lord to bow down thine ear, O God. O Lord, hear me. And then the second part of that, verse 6, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. He's asking God for his ear. And then this, the third part that we just briefly glanced at was then David saying, I need to incline my ear. Teach me thy way, O Lord. And here, this is the portion of Scripture that we're going to look at. We saw last week that in those moments of trusting, David declares three things. He declares that God is good, God is great, and God is God alone. And tonight, we're going to look at that trusting heart once again, that this response now to who God is, that God is good, He is great, He is God alone. David's response to that is a heart that says, I need to be honest, I need to be submissive, and I need to be seeking the light of God. There's three responses that we're going to see here, starting in verse 11 of Psalm 86. The Bible reads, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Shew me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast hoplin me and comforted me. What a powerful section of Scripture. We saw David lift up God as great and good, and now he states, I need to learn of God's way. Teach me thy way, O Lord. And our heart toward God needs to be one that's honest, submissive, and seeking that light of God, that direction from the Lord. Father, would you just use this passage in our hearts tonight to bring us closer to you. And Lord, where we're failing to be honest and submissive and we're being self-dependent, Lord, I pray that you'd show us. And Lord, show us the joy in just being in your presence and being submitted to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we look at the example of David tonight, I want us to first look at David's honesty towards God. Look again with me at verse 11. He says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Just in that verse alone, he says to the Lord, by way of request, he's saying that he's prone to do two things. And these two things, I think, we're prone to do as well. He says that he's prone to walk in his own way. He needs to be taught God's way. He needs to be taught the way of the Lord. David was honest that way, that he needed God to show him the way to go. And teach me thy way, O Lord. And the second thing that he's honest about is that he can often have a divided heart. What does he ask God to do? He says at the end of verse 11, unite my heart to fear thy name. That Lord, I don't want a divided heart that's holding on to this thing over here and that's half seeking after you. Lord, would you take my heart and would you unite it? And Jesus preached the very same thing in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. He said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. One commentator puts it this way. Most of us, when we pray, are concerned about deliverance and help and guidance and such things. But we are not nearly as concerned to be taught God's way and to be helped to serve Him with an undivided heart. We want what we want, one preacher put it that way. We want to get to the end of what we're after, and we don't want anything in the way of that. If there's a deliverance that needs to happen, Lord, we pray that You deliver us so we can get to our goal. God's not always after that. God's after your heart being put after Him, and God will bring a deliverance in His timing. Oftentimes that may not be what we think is the right way. Oftentimes we think, oh, it'll play out like this if God were to deliver me. Or I have a way that I can think of that it would be really great if God delivered this way. We need to be asking God, would You teach me Your way? And we need to be honest toward God's, Lord, would you help me in my utter helplessness? It's His strength that we need. Look at verse 16 of this chapter here in Psalm 86. Verse 16 says, O turn unto me, have mercy upon me, give Thy strength unto Thy servant. It's His strength that we need to know the way to walk in and to have a united heart to fear God's name. There's a second thing here that David shows in his example, not just honesty towards God, but his submission to God. Look at the I will statements he says in verses 11, 12, and verse 12. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Verse 12. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. He firstly says, I will walk in Thy truth. That's pretty relevant, I think, today, very relevant, especially in our day with woke ideologies and different people saying you can live by your own truth. And David here says, I will walk in Thy truth, for He is the truth. And God is the only one that is true. David here says that the only one truth that we should be seeking to walk in, that's God's truth. He says, secondly, that he will praise God. And that word praise means expressing gratitude of the highest degree, to do honor to display the excellence of, to extol in music or in songs. And then he takes it one step further and he says, I will glorify Thy name forevermore. And putting a time limit on it that exceeds any time that we could even fathom. Forevermore, You're worthy of my magnifying in honor or worship. Here David says, Lord, I want to praise You. I will praise You. I will glorify Your name forevermore. But why does he say all that? And verse 13 tells us, for great is Thy mercy toward me. And I think that is one of the most powerful phrases in this whole chapter. For God's grace, His mercy is great towards you. If you stop and ponder that and slow down and think about that, submission to God is no longer a duty. When you think about God's mercy towards you and how He saved your soul and He plucked you from the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock, as we talked about the other night, it's not a burden to serve God. It's not a burden or an inconvenience to be submitted to God and walk in His truth. Rather, it just becomes our loyal devotion. He gave His life for me. Without Him giving His life for us, there would be no reason to live tonight. There would be no reason to meet here tonight. We would live, we would pass on, we would be judged for our sin, and that would be that. But God, in His mercy, gave His only begotten Son. It's but my reasonable service, as Romans chapter 12 states, that I give my life to Him, that I'm submitted to do His will and to walk in His truth. That's that my life would be literally a living thank you letter to what God has done for me. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And David was submitted to God. The third thing we see about David's example tonight is really the rest of the chapter here. David seeking for God's light. And really, these were troubled times for David. People were seeking after his life. You may not have that happen in your life. The worst you may have is someone maybe holding a grudge against you for 18 years.
Isn't that amazing? It's interesting. And it's like
But praise the Lord, they're not gathering an army around your house and trying to kill you.
Or your apartment.
See, David, over and over throughout his life, he had people circling, and throughout the Psalms, he says, like dogs, searching for his life, wanting to kill him. He says in verse 14, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. You know, that's the only time we really hear anything about David's mother. We always hear him, he's the son of Jesse. This is the one time where his mother is put here. And she must have been a lady that feared the Lord. You can tell that to be called the handmaid of the Lord. Who else was called the handmaid of the Lord? Mary. Yeah. That God would choose her to bear David, who would then be the line of Christ, which is amazing. Shew me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hoplined me, or hast guarded me and comforted me. God's greatness, we see, often shines it brightest in the darkness. D.L. Moody said this, and I've quoted this before, but I believe it's wholeheartedly true. To trust God in the light is nothing but to trust Him in the dark. That is faith. That is faith. And here in verse 15, we see a contrast in these troubled times, a contrast of light in the troubled times that David was facing. You hear all about the proud men that are risen against him, the assemblies of violent men, and we could think of lots of assemblies and different things of men and women that are working wickedness in our day. But then you get to verse 15, but thou. That is a powerful contrast. But thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion. Spurgeon says, David seems to have stood in the cleft of the rock with Moses and to have heard the name of the Lord proclaimed, even as the great lawgiver did. For in two places in Psalms, he almost quotes verbatim the passage in Exodus 34, verse 6. I want you to look with me right here at verse 15. Look at it while I read Exodus 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Almost word for word there. What does that tell us? We could say that David read his Bible. He meditated on Scripture. And then he took that knowledge that God gave him into his prayer life. He said, God, I know you're this. I know what's going on in my life, but thou, O Lord, this is what is true. This is who I know the Lord to be. And because he did that, he could say, Lord, would you show me? Would you give me a token for good, that those men around me that are not serving God, that they would be ashamed. When you think about that verse 17 there, he says, shew me a token for good. I liken it to, I don't really have a good definition of it, except a glimpse of God's light. God, would you show me, I know it may not be your time to deliver yet, but would you give me a glimpse of your light? Would you show me a sign to know that you are going to deliver? Another way to define this, I was talking with Dale this week about different sheds and things, and we were discussing how one would pay for it. And sometimes you would have to put 10% down to tell them that I am good for it. And that somewhat helps us to understand what a token for good is. God, would you give me a sign, something to know that you're in control and that you are on the move here. And that can be a good thing in our life, asking God, Lord, would you prove to these people your name? Lord, would you prove the validity of your word to these people, that they would know that you are God? It can be a bad thing in our life if our attitude is, God, I won't believe you unless you do this. That is a totally different thing. That is not taking this piece of scripture literally and what it is saying. No, David's heart here, we know, is right on. He is believing God, for he stated just a moment ago in the previous verses who God was. He's full of compassion. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's plenteous in mercy. And he's saying, God, would you show this to these people? These people that hate you. God, would they be ashamed? Would they be embarrassed in their faces so that they would come to a knowledge of who you are, that they would fear your name as well? God's saying, I believe you. Would you give me that glimpse of light, that token of your deliverance? You know, an example of that in our own lives is the Holy Spirit, a token for good. Regarding your salvation, God has given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you a token of good, saying, I'm good for it. There is going to be a final resurrection in that day when you come to be with me. I am going away to prepare a place for you, that with me, you're gonna be with me one day. And I'm going to go to two passages here tonight, just talking about that token of good that God has given to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 1. So I'll read a passage from each one of those. And in fact, I might call on a couple of you. So maybe one of you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And maybe one of you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Mr. Milligan, which one do you have there?
I have 2 Corinthians.
And then Ephesians chapter 1, praise the Lord. All right, Mr. Milligan, could you read verses 21 and 22?
Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts.
And the Spirit is that earnest which God has given to us. And we just talked about being established in the faith this last Sunday. This is who God has given to us in our hearts. There's no second blessing that we need to receive in order to receive the Spirit of God. The Spirit was given to us at salvation. He has been given to us and we have been sealed. That we have that eternal security in God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14.
In whom he also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Tonight, just in regards to the earnest of our inheritance, we can be assured that God's way is best. You know, we could probably try to think up different ways that God could have done it. That's worthless. God's way is best, and the remainder of our inheritance in Christ is far better than anything we could ever dream up. our response in these days needs to be like that of David. Honesty towards God, Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord. There's no way that I could go that would bring fruit in my own dependence. There needs to be a submission towards God. Lord, I need to walk in your truth. I don't need to walk in any way that I could be. I need to be praising your name, being submitted to you. And then practically, I need to be seeking God's light. Lord, would you show me where to go? Lord, is there something that you need to show me just to assure my heart, to give me some peace here tonight? And you know what? Oftentimes, those tokens for God gives us right here. We just don't look for them. God's giving them to us on a daily basis. He wants to. And we need to be meditating in his word so that we can take those tokens for good, that peace that passes all understanding, the peace that he gives that the world does not give. God gives to us right here. Teach me thy way, O Lord.